Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Semi-Informed Conversations with Ben and Trey. We're excited to put on another episode for you guys. My name is Ben. I'm sipping on a little bourbon today. Trey, what are you up to? Who are you?
Hey, guys. I'm Trey. I'm a father of two, and I'm really excited because it's a Hallmark Channel movie season.
Oh, my God, everybody. Hold on a second while I stab my eyeballs with several knives. All right, bro. Well, today's episode, we're semi-informed about
aging.
All right, man, let's get old together. All right, everybody, let's get into it. We're going to talk about aging today, not Asians or agents. We're talking about aging, getting older.
There we go.
Sorry for the hearing impaired. We're talking about getting older. So you know, Trey, I know you're getting up there because it takes you a little bit longer to get onto these Zoom chats. took our guest today a little bit longer to get on the Zoom chat as well. He's having a hard time figuring it out, but we'll get to him in a little bit. Anyway, so Trey, I went ahead and pulled up some stats, right? So we're both in our late 30s. So we're not quite there yet, but
no,
we're starting to get up there. You feel it when you wake up in the morning.
Absolutely. Every morning.
I blew my hamstring out twice trying to play soccer with these young over 30 year olds. They're closer to 30 than I am. But anyway, so I went ahead and I pulled up some stats just on aging, just in general, because we all know that the baby boomers, you know, largest generation, and they're all getting up there now. So this is going to shift the way that our entire culture works, basically. So first stat, just right off the jump, according to the UN, the global population age 60 and over was 962 million worldwide in 2017. That's more than twice as large as it was in 1980. And the number of older persons is expected to double again by 2050. So at that point, 2050 is going to be 2.1 billion people age 60 or older.
Wow. And
so the U.S., our guest today is wringing his hands because he's a funeral home director. So he can see the writing on the wall, baby.
That's a lot of revenue coming his way.
The business is booming. Again, we'll get to him in a minute. He's licking his chops. All right. The U.S. population is aging as well. And the U.S. population is actually aging incredibly fast. Today there are more than 46 million older adults age 65 and older living in the U.S. That's out of 390 million people. By 2050, that number is expected to grow to almost 90 million. Holy so between shit. 2020 and 2030 alone, the time that the last of the baby boomers are going to reach the age of 65. The number of older adults is projected to increase by almost 18 million. That means that by 2030, one in five Americans is projected to be of 65 years or older. That's kind of crazy, bro.
That is crazy, man.
One in five people. It's expected that older adults, 65 and up. So that group that we consider to be older adults,
will
for the first time in history, outnumber children, people aged 18 and under.
Wow.
So, so if you think about that, you know, we're going to have a lot of, people with the left turn signal on forever.
I was just thinking that just sitting there at lights and shit.
Oh my God. Like, bro, just a lot of those, you know, those big sunglasses that go over the top of your regular glasses. We're going to see a lot of those. You're going to see Ray-Ban start coming out with those and shit. Like all of our trends are going to change, dude. I mean, you're already starting to see it. There's a lot more, you know, a place for mom ads on TV and stuff like funeral home ads nonstop.
It's just going to smell like Ben Gay everywhere.
Oh bro. Ben Gay, talcum powder, just dusty. Just the amount of ashy humans on the planet is just going to explode.
Instead of bike racks, you're just going to see like rascals or motorized scooter racks.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that. The electric motorized scooter market is going to boom, bro. Tesla is going to be a whole new industry. Go in my hover round. The electric scooter charging stations at the Grand Canyon. All right. Here's the last little tidbit that I looked up. A policy paper released at the T20 summit in Japan in 2019 said that the impact of the population aging is, quote, enormous and multifaceted, i.e., we are going to deal with deteriorating fiscal balance, changes in the patterns of saving and investment, shortage of the labor supply, lack of adequate welfare systems, in particular in developing countries. There's going to be a possible decline in productivity and economic growth, and just general ineffectiveness of macroeconomic policy.
I mean, can you say we're seeing that now? Shit.
I mean, we're starting to, bro. 2020 to 2030 is when these boomers start to crest.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they say you can't take the money with you when you go, right? Like you gotta, you can't bury yourself with all that money, but these people are going to take a lot of that fucking money before they go.
Social Security. Oh yeah.
So, I mean, if we're losing all of our adequate welfare system, all of our programs are funded, are going to switch to taking care of these old people.
Yeah.
All of them will.
That's true. Didn't think about that. That's right. Yeah.
All right. Here's another fun little tidbit. Oh, wait, no, sorry. I got two more little tidbits. I lied, bro. I'm not good at reading.
That's okay. Go ahead.
List. All right. The oldest person to ever live. How old do you think they got?
I'm going to say 110 years old.
No, you can't go. You can't go, special guest. All right, go ahead and chime in, everybody. Our special guest today is Bill Rose. Billy Rose, longtime friend of ours, Montclair High School alum, current Grim Reaper.
Grim Reaper.
William Rose. Go ahead, Willie. How old is the oldest person who ever lived?
Hold on, wait for the applause. Wait for the applause. Guys, please.
Oh, stop. Sorry. Sorry. There was a massive amount of applause. You can hear my dog barking in the better? Background. There's howling. Yeah. All right, go ahead. Give us the number.
I shouldn't have brought them with us. I'm sorry. I'm going to go with either in the world or in the United States. What are we talking here?
Worldwide.
Well, I'm going to say 122.
The oldest person who ever lived that was independently verified was Jean Calmette of France, who lived to be 122 years old and 164 days. You are correct, wow. Mr. Bill.
You know, do you know, because back then they didn't have birth certificates. You know how they verified that she was 122?
They checked the talcum powder.
I was going to say they counted the rings.
Cut her leg open. Cut her leg open and counted the rings.
On her wooden leg.
All right, so Jean Calmette, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but either way, she lived to be 122 years old. According to the UN, what do you think is the average life expectancy? The last time they pulled this number was in 2019, but what do you think is the average life expectancy? Trey first, then we'll get to Bill. Obviously, Bill knows.
This is worldwide,
knows,
right?
Bill knows his death stats. Yeah, let's go with
Trey. Oh, I'm sorry. They're cheering again. I can't keep them back. I'm sorry.
So this is worldwide?
Yes, worldwide, and then we'll do the U.S. Worldwide, right. What do you think is the average life expectancy?
I would say 80 years old, 80s, mid-80s.
Lower.
Lower? 75.
Lower.
60, 68.
It's starting to get depressing. No, you went too far. The 70. Average life expectancy, according to the UN, Bill Rose.
Now, are we talking pre-COVID or post-COVID?
Pre-COVID, 2019.
I'm going to go with, what was it? Your guess was in the 70s. What did you say?
I said 69.
I'm going to say 76.
You also shot too high. According to the UN, the average life expectancy in 2019 was 72.6 years old.
Okay.
Now, if you look at the US, we're a little bit higher, 78.8.
Okay.
Right, well, yeah.
I mean, obviously, we got,
medicine.
Medicine. Right.
I was going to make a joke about fucking Pop-Tarts and, like, delicious shit.
And we have acorn stair lifts, so that definitely will prolong your life.
Oh, my God, bro. And we got people like Bill Rose keeping us young with the laughter and the jokes. All right, so Trey, before we get into your stuff, let's talk to Bill real quick. We broke the seal on who our special guest was this week. So Bill, man, how you been, buddy? Welcome,
good to the show.
Thank you for agreeing to come on and chat with us a little bit.
I know. I'm I just love that you invited me and flew me all the way out here. It's great to be back in Burbank where I belong.
This is the other Tonight Show.
With the other folks back in Burbank. Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's funny that you said that because Trey has been known as the Ed McMahon of the Semi-Informed Conversation podcast.
Why not?
I also appreciate that you dress for the occasion, bro. Bill's got a pocket square on. He's got a fucking full suit. Looking very sharp. His hair is like freshly hair waxed. You got You got a nice pomade in there.
Oh yeah.
I do.
Is that Dapper Dan?
Yes, and it's made of, it's 100% organic.
Nice.
Okay.
And it's made of goji berries, and it does have Wi-Fi.
I was going to say, and dead grandmother souls. Bill, tell us a little bit about what you do as a profession. Why I invited you to be on the aging podcast today?
Well, I do two things. Number one, I am a executive director at a funeral home here in New Jersey, which is very interesting because it's not your typical funeral home.
Okay.
The second profession, that I'm a full-time instructor at mortuary school in Manhattan.
Mortuary school. I was trying to okay. think of this the other day, and I kept coming up with a grave digger school. My friend, he's a teacher at grave digging school, and my friend goes like, well, "What does that mean? He just has a shovel and shit." I was like, "I don't know."
Shovel and a black overcoat.
It seems very fucking depressing. I don't know what the fuck he does. but that's awesome. So you're mortuary school. So this is really your business. This is what you do. Have you been doing this? How long have you been executive director at the funeral home?
I took over as executive director in January.
Okay. And before that,
at this particular funeral home, I've been there for almost 3 years, and I've been in the industry, actually, believe it or not, almost 20 years.
Jesus wow, Christ. Man.
20 yeah, years we're really old. Yeah. Long in the tooth, as they say.
I mean, we're long in the tooth, but you're surrounded by death. I mean, this is the thing that most people are afraid of. Most people, I think, shy away from this particular topic.
I don't think so. I think you're incorrect, sir.
Okay. How am I incorrect?
But I like your attention to detail. That's why we're such good friends. Exactly. I make pre-arrangements. I did two today. I make pre-arrangements. People are coming to the conclusion that they are going to die at some point.
And they're finally coming to that conclusion.
Well, I mean, they are scientists that say that we can't avoid it.
You're talking about Professor Kyrie Irving?
It could be.
Who thinks the earth is flat and he shouldn't get a vaccine? Right, so anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so yeah, I make a number of pre-arrangements every week. And we have a whole filing cabinet full of people that have made their wishes down on paper ahead of time.
That's interesting. That's actually something I wanted to talk to you about a little bit later. So before we get into end of life planning and that sort of thing, because that's one of the reasons why I actually wanted to talk to you specifically, because I feel like, you know, like we're almost 40. All of our friends are almost 40. All the people we listen to are almost 40. Everybody's got families and stuff.
Well, wait a second. Yeah. I know we're getting older here, right?
Yep. Yep.
Right. We're getting older.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? Well, Trey and Ben, you'd see it through your brother, whatever. As we get older and we have children, your thought process completely changes. Like,
you're talking to Trey now.
No, just in general, as we get old. Like now, I was cutting the grass today and I thought to myself, you know, we should cut, you have to cut it a different way every time you cut it so the grass will grow straight. If you cut it the same way, it grows. But this is what I'm saying. Only elderly people would worry about this stuff. You know,
I'm not going to, you know what? I do not follow, bro. I live in Philadelphia, brother. I haven't cut my grass in 25 years.
Okay.
May be a concern to people. I don't know. Trey, do you have this concern?
I'm with Bill.
You have a lawnmower?
I love my lawn. And, you know, sometimes I definitely do go in different directions. This way it grows. Yes. Yes. I'm with you.
Brother. Now, let's say you walk into a house and you go in and they have a lot of appliances, right? The first thing a dad's thinking, or an older man, how big is their electrical service to handle this amount of appliances?
I think about that. I think about that constantly. I mean, I'm also a multi homeowner. I live in a duplex. I own the whole place. So I'm constantly like, hey, you better turn this light off. This bill about to get crazy. We got a lot of stuff plugged in around here.
I'm Wi-Fi. I got Wi-Fi on my light switch, Wi-Fi on my thermostat. Ashley was working from home through COVID and I would turn the heat down on her and turn the lights off.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to save that money. You could be a lawyer in the dark. Shit. You got light on your phone.
Think about it. When we grow up, you know, you're worried about the stupid things like, I hope everyone likes the way I dress when I go to work, you know, go to school. Yeah. Yeah. And these things that don't matter now, you know, now it's completely, what do I care if I dress? What do you, you know?
I mean, if someone had told you when you were 12, hey, don't care about how you think, don't care about how you dress, you should be caring more about which school. Direction you cut the school. Lawn.
Right.
I'm just saying, how would you feel about that? Would you be like, get the fuck away from me, old man? I'm not thinking about that shit. Get away from me. I just bought these dope ass shoes, man. I got to wear them shits to field day.
That's when you're going to do those wheelbarrow races.
Yeah, exactly. How am I going to do wheelbarrow races? I'm worried about what direction the lawn is cut, please.
I'm telling you. You got to worry about a lot of things as you get older, all right?
Trey, this is absolutely the truth. Let's speaking of fumbling the narrative at an old age, Trey, we were supposed to be talking about something completely different.
Wait a second. Shouldn't we take a break for our commercial?
We're not there yet. We're jumping the gun here. Shit. Let me run the goddamn show. Trey, get into what you're going to talk about. Then we can take a break. Then we'll let Bill take over the second half of the show.
Yeah, well, you know, you were touching on some awesome stats, and I did a little digging, and you know, how much money we spend you know, trying to look young. And what I found is very interesting. In 2018 in the United States, Americans spent $16.5 billion on plastic surgery.
How much? Okay. 2.5 billion?
16.5 billion. That's on plastic surgery.
That's in the U.S. alone?
On the U.S. alone. These are all U.S. numbers, okay?
Man.
And in 2019, it was $12.6 billion, okay? And this is crazy. So during COVID, 2020,
yep.
Okay, somehow Americans still found a way to spend $9 billion on plastic surgery.
Even when nobody's going to look at you.
Nobody's looking at you, you're wearing a mask.
Right, you got to look fresh on those.
Yeah, but
Zoom
you got a lot though. Of you have a lot of time to recuperate at home.
This is true.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's good. Right. And you know what? What better time? I was going to get, you know, 100 pounds taken out of my midsection. I'm not leaving the fucking house. I got a lot of family feud to catch up on.
And let me ask you a question. What do you think is the number one form of plastic surgery? The most done.
The lips.
I would say like forehead. No. Botox for wrinkles.
No, actually, it's nose reshaping.
Oh, so
is that like the deviated septum people that say, "Oh, I got a deviated, I got the post nasal drip."
I had a
but
deviated.
Then they go and get it. Then they go and get their nose done.
Yeah, because there were in 2018 there were over 213,000 nose jobs done in the United States.
God, dude. And that, wait, yeah. In what year?
This was 2018.
Okay, so this wasn't during the pandemic, because literally cool. Your face is behind a mask.
Right.
Your nose is actually covered if you're wearing it right.
But during the pandemic, there were over 100,000 nose jobs done.
God damn, dude.
Here's one last stat here. So these are worldwide stats, okay, on the anti-aging market. So that's creams, oils, lotions, whatever. So in 2020, it was $58.5 billion market.
Just plastic surgery.
No, this is creams,
oils.
Anti-aging.
Oh, gotcha.
Anti-aging stuff.
Everything
right.
Anti-aging. Okay.
And 2021 so far, it's $62.5 billion spent. Now, this is all worldwide. And it's estimated that by 2026, it'll be $88.3 billion market.
Have you ever done any anti-aging stuff? You got creams, you got ointments, you got hair treatments.
I mean, you know, we're black, so we just put on cocoa butter.
Yeah, I'm like, I just lotion.
I have real ointments. They're made of pig.
Wow. Where do you put that?
On
are
his
you
balls.
Applying that? Yeah, on your balls. You gotta keep those balls nice and shiny.
Well,
and
that's
fresh,
because they're behind the mask. They're behind
I
the
see.
Mask.
Nice and humid. Nice and the humidity.
Wait, those were your balls on those
yeah,
masks.
Yeah, that was what it was.
Oh my god.
Oh
man. So yeah. So $58.5 billion in 2020, and in our country alone, it was $14.2 billion spent.
So
out of that 58 billion worldwide in America, it's a $14.2 billion market.
I wonder
so,
how many people paid money for anti-aging face cream but refused to get a free vaccine.
That's another show, man.
All right, man. Let's take a break. Let's mull over those incredible statistics and those depressing numbers about how much goddamn money we spend trying to keep ourselves looking young. We'll be right back.
Yep.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Semi-Informed Conversations, Ben and Trey. We're here talking to Bill Rose. Bill, let's talk more about the funeral home. Like, what is it actually like working in a funeral home? I mean, like I said before, you're around death a lot, but you said that people are actually, you're seeing a movement towards more people being responsible with regards to end of life planning, stuff like that.
Well, yes, that is correct.
I was listening.
I'm glad you took notes. But yeah, like I said, I make pre-arrangements quite a bit. People are more accepting to it because I think people have experienced it with a parent, and they feel that they were under a lot of stress when they had to make arrangements if it wasn't pre-arranged. So they feel like maybe this would take away some of the burden from their children.
Do you think there was, like, in previous generations? So it's interesting. So you've been doing this now for 20 years. So you've seen essentially an entire generation almost turn over, right? So you've seen these people 20 years ago, their parents may have passed, and now they're aging up. Was yes. there like more of a stigma around them? Like, do you think there was like more of a stigma around, like, we're not going to talk about death and stuff, and then people just get hit? Like, and you feel like families in turmoil and shit like that.
Well, yeah, I think they have a lot to do. And it's not even that. It's about the financial aspect. I mean, dying, let's face it, dying expensive. Today is very expensive. Yeah.
Expensive, right.
And I feel that most people want an idea of what it's going to cost ahead of time so they can plan for the financial aspect of it, which is very smart. I'm going to plug my funeral home for a second.
Go ahead,
Are you both sitting down?
This is the segment of the show called Plugs.
Okay. Hair plugs. No. Basically, I work for a funeral home it's kind of a bizarre concept. We're not owned by a person, and we're not owned by a corporation. We are a charity.
Okay.
We're I think they call it a 503C, according to the – okay. There's only two of them in the whole United States, one here in New Jersey where I – and the manager, and then another one in California.
Okay, so the money is what, endowments or what, not endowments, but it's a
well, it was started. It's that's where the interesting part is. It was started to provide decent funerals to individuals at cost.
Got it.
So whatever our costs are is what we charge the family.
Right.
Okay.
And then if we have money left over at the end of the year, what they call economic surplus for you economic majors, they do capital improvements. So they fix the roof, do the parking lot, whatever. And then if there's money left after that, like unfortunately with COVID, which was just terrible, we had a banner year.
I mean, it depends on how you look at it.
We gave away a record number, over $100,000 to charity.
Wow. Okay.
Because we can't keep the money.
It's interesting though, because you are a charity, so you would assume that money would go towards like people who are indigent or people who can't afford or whatever. You would have like a bank where you keep that money over to the next fiscal year or whatever.
We're not allowed. So the interesting thing is
it's a Jewish funeral home, correct? You told me that before, right?
It is. And the interesting part is even if somebody comes in the door and they say, I have nothing,
right,
you know, or and I need to bury my relative,
right,
we will lose money on it. Because that's what we are. We're a community. We're owned by the community. I'm overseen to make sure that I'm running the business properly by a board of people that are not in the funeral industry. They're, you know, they're construction and all different types of things.
Do you see people like our age coming in and kind of planning for the future?
For their parents.
What about for themselves?
No.
No.
Okay. Do you see a lot of people our age bringing their parents in there? Or is it like parents who are like, hey, I wanted to bring my kid in because he's, you know, ultimately they're gonna be the ones who have to deal with this. Yeah.
Right. No, it's mostly their parents coming in thinking, I don't want my son or daughter to, if something was to happen to me, to have to make all these decisions.
Right.
I want everything to be laid out on file. So it's one phone call for them and the money's already put aside and it's just very simple.
Got it.
All right.
It's your show. I'm just here as a guest, please. It's very comfortable in here. You keep it quite cool.
We do, right? You can see the fan going in the background. It's a very,
I know, that's why
fan.
I was saying that. I was
it's
saying
a strong ass fan. It's
the only problem is it dries your skin out. If you're starting to feel dry,
you can go over to Trey's Wonder Gel Facial Cream Emporium where he's
also known as
Cocoa Butter. I've got tons of cocoa butter in this house.
Known as Cocoa Bongo.
Trey's Cocoa Bongo anti-aging cream. No, what I was gonna say is I had a two-part question, right? So a Jewish funeral happens very quickly, right? Like they have a person will pass, they sit Shiva for a day or two, there's a lot of misnomers.
I know a lot of your listenership. This is broadcast internationally, right? We have many.
Yes, and we're on Jewish Radio Network, JRN.
No. I'm just saying because if we have listeners in Israel, I'm just saying, but. Yep. What I'm telling you is
they'll know already. They already know. Okay. But the Palestinians, they should know. when they kill their neighbors, they need to know how to bury them properly.
What we do is whether it doesn't matter. We serve all sects of Judaism, whether it's Orthodox, Reform. Now that you have the conservadox, which is like Orthodox, but not whatever. Okay. So the funeral might
they
be
all
that
voted
same,
for Trump. Doesn't matter.
The funeral might be that same day, mm-hmm. but we'll do whatever is convenient for the family. But like I said, we're just another funeral home in the sense that you couldn't tell us apart. We have a beautiful facility.
Right.
So it's a beautiful facility and compared to a lot of the stuff that's in our area, it was built to be a funeral, wasn't a house.
Right. So that's great. I mean, especially because, like you said, it's a community and you can help out people who are maybe less fortunate and the costs are enormous at end of life. So talk to us a little bit about end of life care. What are some of those things outside of funeral costs? Can you just ballpark it? What's a funeral cost? And what are we talking about? What do I get? Can I get an extra value? All
right. What's the package deal? Is there
right, a bronze? Hold on. Let me give you the platinum package first.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Sorry. Get your notebook out.
No, I would have buttoned my jacket.
For everybody else,
he
buttoned his jacket up. He quaffed his hair a little bit. So now we're going to get the real pitch. I want the diamond package.
I'm just telling you what it is.
All right. Good. Let's have it.
Okay. All right. So here's the deal. So we're a community-owned funeral home, so you're paying what it costs us.
Got it.
That's it. So if you die locally and you're going to be buried locally, the funeral home the charges I can control,
right,
are going to be less than $5,000.
Okay, so that's what you're charging.
Yeah. Now what
you
I'm saying is,
you haven't always worked at this funeral home, but what I'm asking. Don't make me get violent on this show. You answer my question. I dealt with a politician last week. He was dodging questions left and right. I was throwing wrenches at him. No, I'm just kidding. All of our listeners need to go listen to that podcast again and please vote for Jason. Anyway, what I'm wondering is so at the funeral home you used to work at, obviously I die in Philadelphia. I'm not going to get brought to your funeral home. I'm not Jewish.
Right.
What is that going to cost me?
Well, Let me tell you what it includes. Okay. You have professional service, the funeral director and staff, which is basically the overhead for existing.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
You have either embalming or sanitary care or some kind of preparation to the body, dressing, whatever. You have the transfer from wherever the person passes away back to the funeral home, the hearse on the morning of the funeral.
Right.
Casket. And that's pretty much it for the funeral home. in whatever the service may be, whether it might be a service in the funeral home, a wake, visitation, church service, graveside service, which is very popular since COVID. You know, most people are doing everything right at the cemetery.
Right, because you just want to be outdoors.
Okay. Right. So at my funeral home, it's less than 5,000, but we're about a half to a third of what another funeral home would charge in the area.
Damn.
Wow.
So I could charge. So I go. I'm already leaving credit card debt on these bastards anyway.
I almost forgot the casket.
Right, the casket. Right.
Yeah.
It includes our minimum basic casket that has power windows, heating and air conditioning.
I was going to say, what do you?
And Sirius radio.
Down at the community funeral home. What am I looking at now? What am I getting? Like a plywood? Is this like a
gangs in New York?
Like a Pinewood Derby car that, level?
But that's what we use. That's what most Jews in our area think, that they don't need to spend a lot of money on a casket.
What's the point? It's going in the ground.
Right. I mean, a lot of Christians, I'm not knocking anyone's beliefs or whatever, but I'm just saying, a lot of Christians. Knock beliefs.
This is that type of podcast now. Now we go after.
I thought this religion. Was a family type of situation that
It was until you came.
Well, I'm glad I can break everything now that you have here.
Now we're an explicit podcast and we are anti-religion.
Well, I looked it up. It said it was clean. It was rated clean.
Clean on what? On what platform?
They have a lot of toilet paper. Anyway, so I'm telling you that, you know, Christians may believe that they need to supply a casket that's something similar to what the person drove or
I'm getting a Cadillac.
The way they live their life. And they put a piece of furniture in the
velvet
ground.
Lining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever. Jews, on the other hand, it's minimal. Why am I spending money? You go back to the earth, and that's the way it should be.
Right.
Gotcha.
So this is all. Now, I told my students I was going to be on a major radio show.
Okay, you can still tell them that.
Well, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, I told them that.
Thank you for belittling us.
For
belittling us to our faces. Thank you.
You fucking asshole.
I dressed up and combed my hair for you.
Well, I can't wait to hear the reviews from your students. I saw a picture of your students. It looked like a typical Tuesday morning at the DMV.
They're very tired or early. They can't help it. But this is what we taught. One of the classes that I teach is funeral history, and we cover everything from the ancient Greeks to the Romans. And we'll get into that later in this podcast when we talk about aging.
No, we will not.
Right. No. That's after the third break, commercial break. That's how we really bring them in.
Don't we have to take a break now to talk about baking, you know, soda or some Arm & Hammer or something?
Wait, what are we doing with Arm & Hammer?
I don't know. Did you get any money from some commercial?
I thought you were talking about like making human volcanoes in people's mouths and stuff. Like
Joe versus somebody, the volcano?
Yeah, what do I get if I order the volcano package at your funeral home? I just want a little baking soda in my open mouth, and then you pour vinegar in, and then
we don't have that.
Right before the open.
We're sold out.
We're sold out for the volcano package.
So what I'm telling you is that, you know, our funeral, it's different because it's Jewish, but those are the funeral home charges.
Gotcha.
Okay. Now, the other charges that are in addition to that, the cemetery, which is quite costly. Now, the cemetery can be anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000 just to open the.
That.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's almost as much as our whole service just for them to dig the grave.
So it's almost better for me to go to the community funeral home, get the service, and then just tie my box to the back of a truck and just fling it into the ocean.
Or just have my kids dig the hole for me.
Exactly.
Are they good in the sandbox? I was gonna say
before you get them to bury you in the backyard, make sure you cut the grass properly, because we want to make sure that your plot grows in the right direction.
But it's
here lies Tresor Gopal. He manicured the shit out of this lawn.
Oh yeah.
But it's very interesting because I make a lot of pre-arrangements every day.
Right.
And a lot of
good. That's great. Everybody should be doing that, right? Like, this is the type of thing that everybody should be thinking about and planning for.
Yes. A lot of people will tell you that insurance is the way to go. It's not. going to your local funeral home, finding out exactly what it's going to cost. By getting insurance, you're getting a guesstimate of what it's going to be. You know, I have a $10,000 policy. I have a $20,000. Yeah, that might be sufficient if you live in the Midwest, right?
Right.
We don't live in the Midwest. We live in the Northeast where things are more expensive.
Right.
It doesn't cost anything to go in and make arrangements and find out exactly what it's going to cost you. And a lot of funeral homes will guarantee their pricing, meaning you can prepay ahead of time and the price is locked in. So,
you get a locked in death rate.
That's right. As long as you guarantee so many, you'll die so many times.
0% APR when your lease is up.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you want to make payments,
I mean, it makes sense, dude. It sounds morbid, but it's the way to go, dude. That's the smart thing to do. Yeah. All right, before we get into the last segment of the show, let me talk real. Let's just ask real quick just about funeral homes and also people wanting to age in their home, right? Like, Bill, you might not have any insight on this, but I know that it's like I personally want to be able to age in my house. I was just watching a thing on TV right now. It said that it's like a $2 billion or something industry. Or no, maybe it was more than that. I might be getting the number wrong. $2.6 billion industry. The amount of work that it costs for your family members to take care of you when they're in your house.
Yeah, but there's been a change in the rule.
That's free labor.
There's been a change in the rule. Medicaid, or it might even be Medicaid or Medicare, one of them will pay you now.
Yes.
Pay you a stipend, a percentage, right?
Yeah, they'll pay you a percentage.
But the problem is like not, you know, like you both know your kids. You trusting your kid to change your feeding tube?
My son, yes. He's a lovely little boy. I think he would. My daughter, I think she would eat my face like a cat.
Yeah, I was going to say, your daughter's going to be the older one. She's going to be the one making those decisions.
Or step on that feeding tube.
Exactly. She's like, I got to get to the money quicker than you, buddy. She's ruthless, dude.
I completely agree. And you know, it goes back to the whole, what we're talking about with aging. You know, as the average age rises in the United States, and this is a lot about what I teach, public assistance programs and planning for the future, meaning retirement and things like that. How long can you sustain to live on those things?
Right. Because the other thing is that the life expectancy is going to get longer.
That's
especially
right.
Especially as you know, we already see the life expectancy is longer here in the US as it is around the world. But you have to assume that, you know, the more pandemics and these types of things that come along, the faster we're going to start fast tracking science and research and all these sorts of things. We're going to start developing ways to fight diseases. Now we're going to get stronger diseases as a result of that, because that's just how science works. But we're going to find ways to live longer, especially as the older population starts to become the most populous part of our society.
Yeah.
People are going to live forever.
In the late 1800s, the life expectancy was 42, so you really didn't have to plan that much, right? But I'm just saying that as we now we're at 78 in the United States. So as that number keeps going up with the little blip of COVID, you know, that kind of took us down a little bit. You know, all these public assistance programs and things like that, and planning for retirement and things like Medicaid, Social Security, people living longer, we have to consider, you know, what is the proper retirement age? Things like
we're gonna start pushing that age up.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, that's the only way to sustain it, really.
Bro, we're all gonna be working at that checkout lane when we're 78 years old bagging groceries.
I'm gonna be the sticker guy at Walmart, the smiley face sticker.
You're gonna be like, we'll be like Brooks from Shawshank.
Yeah, exactly. I need a break, boss. You don't need to keep asking for a break. Just go pee
or go to the bathroom.
Go to the bathroom. Well, it's too late. I peed myself. I'm 85 years old. I can't control my bowels anymore.
I'm gonna ask my assistant to cancel my flight. I'm going to stay a little longer for hot topics like you asked me to.
Great.
Topic.
Oh, awesome.
Edie, you can cancel the flight, the jet. Tell the jet to wait for me. I'll be good.
Yeah, tell Edie to ease off there. Pump her goddamn brakes.
hold her horses, as I like to say.
All right. Well, Bill helped us with the transition. Trey, you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
Let's get into trending topics. All right, Trey, you ready? Bill, you ready? You're going to stick around? All right, Bill brought his own laugh track and applause track.
I'm trying to figure it out. I can hear it. That makes it good.
Okay. All right, well, you can hear it. That's good enough. Let's get into trending topics. Trending topic number one, Trey, Adele.
She's coming out with a new album.
That's good. Adele apparently released a new single called Easy on Me. What do you think that song's about?
Her ex-boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend was easy on her?
Her chef, maybe?
You know what? You saw she got all that liposuction or whatever. That's what I'm saying. Speaking of plastic surgery, like, during COVID, she came out like half a person.
With those buttery fingers you got over there, you know?
Please go easy. I don't want to be pre-COVID Adele anymore. Goddamn. Although pre-COVID Adele had some pipes on her. She was a great fucking singer, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like a bagpipe.
Oh, Jesus.
No. Great singer.
All right. All right, Trey. Trending topic number two. Andrew McCabe. Huh. Hmm. Who is Andrew McCabe?
Sounds like a golfer.
All right. That's one guess.
Going to speak to Congress about something.
Oh, but who was Andrew McCabe? You're in the ballpark.
Yeah. Oh,
man. You know the name. You recognize the name.
I think, wasn't he like an FBI director?
There you go. Andrew McCabe, a former FBI director who was fired under Donald Trump, won back his pension and other benefits after settling a lawsuit against the Justice Department, in which he asserted that he was dismissed for political reasons.
Wow.
Might I add, he was a very good golfer.
You know what? Lesser known facts of Andrew McCabe. Excellent golfer. Oh man, had a great short game.
All right. Is that a point? Do I get a point for that?
Yes, you're gonna get 1 point. And Bill, hit me with the applause again.
It's not working. Crowd cheering.
1 point for Trey.
All right.
Okay, good.
All right, trending topic number three, Nazis.
It's kind of depressing that Nazis are trending on
Twitter. Trending topic number three, too. They're high up there.
I don't know. Is there some sort of movement towards people joining these groups?
I mean, there has been for some time now.
I mean, is that why it's trending? You're seeing more and more Americans kind of gravitate to these groups
since roughly the late 30s, early 40s. No, unfortunately, the reason why Nazis is trending is a school administrator in Southlake, Texas. Mm-hmm. Advised teachers last week that if they have a book about the Holocaust in their classroom, they should also have a book with a, quote, opposing perspective.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Let's just move on from that one.
That is the only
no laugh track there.
Wow, is the only take that you could have on that shit.
And that's in Texas, right?
Of course, yes.
So then our listeners should go back to our
three episodes ago and listen to Texas about Texas.
And that'll explain, you'll understand why that is trending.
Zelle helps you get paid fast without using. No, please don't do this. I don't know what the fuck that was. We're not ready for that. We'll run our own ads. At this point, everybody should have heard my sultry voice telling them to go listen to podcasts on Anchor. All right, sorry. Trending topic number four, the Batman.
Are they coming out with a new movie?
They are indeed. They are coming out with a new Batman. And Trey, for $1, who is the new Batman? What actor is playing the Batman?
Danny DeVito.
Oh, incorrect. Close. He was in a Batman movie, but he is not the Batman.
Oh, man. Who's going to be the new Batman?
Jesus. He is at one point.
It's that kid from Twilight with the vampires when they were like sparkling and shit.
Harry Styles.
What is his name? Not Harry Styles.
Man, he looks like a European heroin addict.
He was in Tenet. If you saw Tenet, extremely good movies. Random plug for the movie. Tenet.
I know it. What's his name?
His name is Robert Pattinson.
Yes. Yes.
So apparently he's trending because fans of the new teaser for the Batman are, quote, losing it over Robert Pattinson's Dark Knight voice, which is sounding better and better.
So he doesn't sound like this.
You should fear me. apparently not. Apparently he sounds better than that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll give him a shot.
All right. We'll give him a shot. Yeah, I'm excited for the new one, actually. I mean, because it's not like we haven't had a Batman movie in at least, you know, 6 months.
Yeah, right.
Why wouldn't there be a new Batman movie? All right, trending topic number 5, Prince William.
I think I know this one. I think I saw this. I think he was blasting billionaires about space travel, and he was saying that they should take their money and fix the Earth.
Yes, once in future King Prince William.
Yes.
Said, to hell with you billionaires trying to go to space. We got fucking problems here. To which I said, you will be the king of England at one point. You fix the fucking problem.
That you caused when your ancestors literally enslaved the world.
Enslaved the world and industrialized all of these fucking countries that are putting pollution into the earth.
I'm like, talk about throwing stones.
Pot, kettle, Prince William. Fix the fucking earth. I mean, how much is the royal family worth? Let me pull this up.
I don't know. You have to look that up, but I'm assuming they took a lot of money from India. So it's
I think it's about a sixpence or a king's foot.
They're worth one king's foot. That's not what the fuck I thought it would be.
A fortnight?
So Forbes magazine estimated the Queen's net worth at around 325 million euro or $500 million in 2011, while an analysis of the Bloomberg Billionaires Index put it at only 425 million in 2015.
Yeah, but does that include all the
jewelry that they own in the locked up?
That's what I'm thinking. It's got to be her shit. Yeah.
What is that in yen?
Oh, wait. Sorry. Hold on a second. Now I'm seeing one inside the firm, how the royal family's $28 billion money machine really works.
There you go.
So maybe they got $28 billion.
Come on.
They have
a
printer, I think, there.
Come on.
They just print out money with her face on it.
Right, she just slaps the money on her face.
Either way, he ain't the right one to be going after billionaires for fixing the space race. But I'm happy that a billionaire did say,
right,
you know what, yes. England would like to throw our hat in the race, we're also going to space. So good on him.
Yeah at least he said something. Okay, great. But
biscuits and gravy, bangers and mash.
Sure.
what other
fish and chips and all those other Heinz 57 brown sauce.
And that has been Trending Topics. All right, everybody. Thanks for checking out Semi-Informed with Ben and Trey. Thank you so much to our guest, Bill Rose, for coming on. And
yeah, man. Thanks for coming out.
Talking to us.
Hey. It's a pleasure, as always, you two young gentlemen making your way in the world.
Really good to see you again. I appreciate the what TV show is that from? Cheers? Did you just hit us with the cheers line?
I think he did.
Something like that. All right, man. Well, it was good seeing you, brother. Thank you so much.
Trey, good to be back in Burbank. Good to be back in Burbank.
Bill, do you want to plug your funeral home one more time?
Not really.
Okay. Trey, do you want to plug anything? Trey, do you want to plug Bro Brothers again?
Absolutely. Bro Brothers whiskey. I was drinking on it again tonight, and I'm going to continue to drink that every night we do it, man. This is great stuff.
Until they come on and sponsor us. Thank you very much. Bill, for real though, what's the name of your funeral home?
It is jewishmemorialchapel.org. O-R-G.
And where in New Jersey do you service?
We service all of New Jersey.
Okay.
The whole state.
It's a wide berth.
That's right. And it's AAMI, which is American Academy McAllister Institute Mortuary Science, AAMI.edu.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much, man. We really appreciate it. Join us next week where we are going to be semi-informed about
conspiracy theories.
Oh, shit. It's going to get super weird.
Ooh, we're going to get deep in the hole.
All right, man. Talk to you guys later.
Peace, man.